Parimeyani Saha Sankarshanas Chakre Bhagavan Madhusudana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, with the cooperation of Sankarshan Balaram, performed activities beyond the mental comprehension of even such personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. For instance, Krishna arranged the battle of Kurukshetra to kill many demons for the relief of the entire world. Text 61. Kalo janishyamananam. Kalo janishyamananam. Dukkha shoka tamo nudam. Shoka tamo nudam. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. Supunyam viyato viyatan nojasa. Supunyam viyatano jasa. Kalo janishyamananam. Dukkha shoka tamo nudam. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. Supunyam viyatano jasa. Kalo janishyamananam. Dukkha shoka tamo nudam. Anugrahaya bhaktanam. Supunyam viyatano jasa. Kalo janishyamananam. Ladies. Hello. In this age of Kali, Janishyamananam, of the conditioned souls who will take birth in the future, Dukkha Shoka Tamanudam, to minimize their unlimited unhappiness and lamentation. which are caused by ignorance. Anugrahaya, just to show mercy. Bhaktanam, to the devotees. Supunyam, very pious. Transcendental activities. Vyatanot, expanded. Yasha, his glories or reputation. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, acted in such a way that simply by remembering Him, one will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, He acted so that all the future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in the Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. Please repeat. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, acted in such a way that simply by remembering Him, one will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, He acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness, stated in the Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. Purport. The Lord's activities of saving the devotees and killing the demons, parichanaya sadunan vinishaya chaduskritam, take place side by side. Krishna actually appears for the deliverance of the sadhus or the bhaktas, but by killing the demons, He shows them mercy also, for anyone killed by Krishna is liberated. Whether the Lord kills or gives protection, He is kind to both the demons and the devotees. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Darati Svapadantitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishkam Jamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwe Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnava Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this particular set of text, we have, again, a description of why Krishna appears and what He does for His devotees, how He treats His devotees, and how He's appearing for the benefit of the devotees, as well as the demons. But we always know, we've heard many times, that Krishna's priority is always to save the devotees, to deliver his bhaktas, because they are very dear to Him. Those are the persons who Krishna is reciprocating with their offering of love. So he is appearing just for their benefit. And as we have heard here, he performs his superhuman activities, his wonderful, transcendental, and very attractive activities, just to give us material to contemplate and to remember and recite, so we can be attracted to Krishna. Just as Rukmini, even before she met Krishna, she heard about his glories and his activities, and just by hearing, she became attracted, very much attracted to Krishna. She became totally dedicated to Krishna. But as we mentioned further in text 61, Krishna also appears to benefit the demons. The demons who are causing so much trouble in the world. They disturb everyone's peace of mind. They disturb, actually, the process of Krishna consciousness, whereby people are step by step approaching Krishna. They are inimical to that. They are against that. And they try to interfere and prevent that opportunity from many, many persons, interfere with the devotee's activities. So Krishna shows mercy on them by stopping those activities. He finishes their life and gives them an opportunity to have liberation. Liberation actually is not a small thing, because liberation is a ceasing of all the material sufferings and difficulties, unhappinesses. As much as the demons are struggling for happiness, actually they're suffering so many difficulties. And eventually they'll be suffering old age, disease, and death. So Krishna is very kind, and he liberates them. So this is Krishna's same desire to show kindness, but for two different classes. And therefore it is shown in two different ways, according to the person's mentality and desire to reciprocate with Krishna. I know my wife is constantly reminding me of that saying. Prabhupada said, always remember Krishna and never forget him. The two axioms. But such demons as Kamsa, they always remembered Krishna and they never forgot him. Kamsa was constantly thinking of Krishna. If someone would deliver him a plate of food to eat, he would think he is seeing Krishna's reflection in the shiny silver plate and he'd become upset. Or he would, in different ways, he would be seeing or thinking about Krishna. So he was constantly thinking about Krishna, but Krishna reciprocated with him differently. Krishna killed him quite easily, and to the great happiness of all the devotees. Because he was terrorizing everyone who wished to prosecute, who execute Krishna consciousness. So that reciprocation was just appropriate, but the reciprocation Krishna had with his devotees was that of love. Deep love, reciprocation of their loving affections and desires. This is what his leelas, especially in Vrindavan, are all focused on. How Krishna interacts and reciprocates with a complete dedication and selfless expressions of love of his devotees. Now in text 60, Prabhupada brings up the extraordinary activity of Battle of Kurukshetra, whereby Krishna relieved the burden of the earth of 640 million persons in a matter of 18 days. So this is a great calamity for human society on one level. And although it was ridding the earth of many demons and persons who are not supportive of Yudhisthira and the Pandavas, who were Krishna's great devotees, Still, in thinking about that, I was reminded how Arjuna offered an objection to fighting this war to Krishna, that he didn't want to engage in the war by which so many people would be killed, and so many families would be disrupted, and so many women would be left without husbands, unprotected. So we can just understand that after the Battle of Kurukshetra, perhaps as many as 640 million new widows immediately were there. That is a lot of unprotected women in society, just what Arjuna feared. But Maharaj Yudhisthira's reign was so pious and so much in line with Dharma that we don't hear that society became corrupt, even though this great tragedy, for, in one sense, occurred, that so many people died. Rather, the people became peaceful and pious. So we can see, just like the example is there of Jarasundar, he was killed by Lord Krishna arrangement. Bhima fought with him for many days and then finally ripped him right in half. Because of a special arrangement, this is how Jarasundar was born. He was born two separate halves of one person. And the father and mother didn't know what to do, so they threw the child into the forest. What will you do with two halves of one body? But the demon Jara knew how to combine them expertly. And the person then became known as Jarasundar, who was a great demon. He tortured and killed and imprisoned many, many thousands of kings. And he was very inimical to Krishna, especially because Krishna killed his son-in-law, Kamsa. So by killing, but Krishna, when he had arranged to kill this demon, Bhima killed him, then he installed his son as the king. And that son pledged allegiance to Yudhisthira and was a follower of Yudhisthira Maharaj. So we can see that somehow, even though Jarasundar was killed, and we assume there was different widows involved, it still, the result was a pious king ascended the throne and the people were governed with great piety and great amount of proper God consciousness, vanashram. So Krishna's killing, arranging the killing of Jarasundha, actually helped a great deal for society to advance, where people could then practice Krishna consciousness very freely without disturbance. So in the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took Rupa Goswami, one of his premier disciples, and explained the science of devotional service for 10 days. And Rupa Goswami then wrote down this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the science of devotional service, nectar of devotion, as Prabhupada termed it. So in this great work, Science of Devotional Service, Rupa Goswami details how the living entity is suffering from sin and effects of sin, papam. The effects are both manifest and unmanifest. Manifest means we're currently suffering them. Different mental, physical, emotional sufferings. And unmanifest means they're yet to come, either in this life, later, or most probably in the next life. But the seeds are there of unhappiness, of distress. So these are the cycles which every living entity is going through. As they're creating sinful activities, they're going through this suffering, manifest and unmanifest. And this unmanifest suffering increases in the fact that one will be born due to previous sinful activities with an inclination towards certain types of sins. If he was a thief, he'll be inclined perhaps towards stealing and other mischievous activities like that. And as he grows, he'll show interest in such activities, and those desires will come in his mind. And later, when he has an opportunity to steal, he will take an advantage, he'll perform that sin, and again, the cycle of karma, action and reaction, the reactions of sin, will continue in this life and the next life. So everyone is undergoing this kind of struggle with material energy. And the demons have no hope of getting out of it because they are addicted to it. And they are oblivious to Krishna. They are against Krishna. But the devotees are in a different position. They wish to cultivate a desire to please Krishna. And Rupa Goswami gives his definition of devotional service, that it must be executed favorably, must be directed explicitly and completely towards Krishna. So these kinds of devotional activities are meant for us to rekindle our love for Krishna. And Rupa Goswami has given us very clearly a definition of what that love must be shaped like, so that we can come to this position of being a pure devotee of Krishna. It must be continuously performed. There can be no break. And it must be solely, exclusively engaged for Krishna's pleasure. As we pointed out, Kamsa, he was always thinking of Krishna, but it wasn't favorable. So that activity is not considered devotional service. So further, these devotees, when they're executing their devotional service, this one-pointedness towards Krishna expands to include other incarnations of Krishna and those related to Krishna, Krishna's devotees. So this is all within the fold of one-pointed service to Krishna. And that service must be done in a way that it is it must be for the pleasure of Krishna, and it must be free from any other desire. It must have an attitude of being solely for Krishna's benefit, not for our own benefit. Oftentimes in this material world, we are engaged in activities with others where we're calculating how I will benefit. I will do this for you, and in return, I'm hoping to get something back. Either some kind of emotional feeling or some substantial material benefit. But that kind of exchange with Krishna is not what is recommended. The exchange with Krishna is meant to be free from all these other motives, other intentions, simply given, as we can see in the lives of the gopis, for Krishna's pleasure, whatever Krishna likes. This is the highest and this is the purest way to approach Krishna. So in performing these jnana and karma, which we are to avoid, one may question whether such activities can be, we see actually like in the lives of devotees, sometimes they're in life-threatening condition. situation. And they cry out to Krishna, Lord, save me. Krishna, save me. Maybe it happened even to some of us, I don't know. But when our life is threatened like that, that is considered not contrary to devotional service. Because the end result is we are trying to continue to serve Krishna. So those kind of approaches to Krishna within a life of devotional service are not contrary. And then we have, finally we have these activities recommended here of hearing and chanting about Krishna, which makes us always remember Krishna in a very favorable way. Instead of being involved with activities such as, sometimes people, devotees in particular, get involved with things like astrology. And these things can be detrimental when we cease to depend on Krishna. When we cease to have faith and surrender to Krishna and his plan, and we're trying to seek some other source of reference and determination for our future. So devotional service is so powerful that it roots out all these different kinds of sins, sinful desires, and beyond the sinful desire, the cause of sinful desire, which is our ignorance. Ignorance of our spiritual position, of our spiritual relationship with Krishna. When one is in ignorance of that, he's living in ignorance, then he makes the wrong decisions and entertains the wrong desires. But when one is fully aligned with Krishna and Krishna's desires, then he will be able to engage fully in Krishna's service, and the power of devotional service will destroy this ignorance. It will destroy all the sins, which cannot be destroyed by any other religious process, any other atonement process. I know I was brought up in a Catholic family, and it was kind of a ritual almost, that every week or every month, especially when I was young, we would go in the church and go in the confessional and confess all our sins, and we would have to say so many prayers in atonement for those sins. And the next week or the next month, we come back and recite practically the same list of sins. Of course, when I was a young child, I didn't even begin to understand what all sins could commit, but the point being that one goes back and it, by this atonement, he continues to engage in sins again and again. They don't root out this desire, which keeps us trapped in this cycle of birth and desire and death, cycle of birth and death. So this power of devotional service, pure devotional service, has the ability to break that cycle and remove those desires. This is the only way. So we are recommended to take full-heartedly to this process by which we can actually cultivate our love for Krishna. And therefore, Krishna will be very inclined to reciprocate with us, to give all protection. So I would like to stop at this point and ask if anyone has any comments or questions. I know in previous days we had long purports, but I wasn't so fortunate. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. Do we have to do any extra endeavors to fight against our material desires, or just by engaging in devotional service, there will be diminishing at the end? That will just fade away, or?
Well, very interesting question. Thank you. Material desires become powerless when we don't act on them. This is a recommended cycle. When you have some desire, but you don't act on it, the desire gradually dissipates. But in addition, this devotional service, serving Krishna, especially hearing and chanting, purifies the heart so that these desires become fried up and they can't create any problems for us. And also in the 10th canto, it's mentioned that we should, in this life, go on tolerating all the results of our previous karma, whatever they may be, and go on serving Krishna in spite of those difficulties. Then the kingdom of Krishna is our rightful inheritance. So toleration. So Krishna says that in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Matra Spasha Astagontaya Sitoshna Sukadukana Agamat Mainanisha Tamchi Tikshapasha Bharata. So that we have to tolerate these desires for happiness and these sufferings from distress and go on serving Krishna. The more we tolerate, the less they have an effect on us. But because of our conditioning, we tend to react incorrectly. I saw Pundarik, I just had the question.
Sorry. You know, it was considered a great tragedy, as you mentioned, that so many people were killed. Hmm. And therefore there were so many widows, so many fatherless children. Normally that would be a great tragedy. One thing we also have to remember, though, is that these people, these kings and their followers, demons who were killed by Krishna, they were a great burden on the earth. So,
definitely.
Just like today, there are many politicians, wealthy men, exploiters of material energy, who are burdening the earth and destroying the earth. You know, we hear the reports every day. Now they say, yesterday I read that they've studied the ocean and they found it's in much, much worse condition than they expected. Everything has accelerated way beyond what they ever expected. Yes, those people were killed and there's a problem for the families, but they live on the earth. And if the earth is not healthy, then who can live on it? So Krishna was removing the burden, these people who are creating that great burden on the earth. And that's more important than whether they have widow or children without fathers.
Yes, that was Krishna's plan, to remove this burden from the earth. Actually, I find it a little bit alarming when we look at the situation on the earth. In previous verses, it described how there was an overburdening of the military buildup and strength. If we look, the greatest military burden and buildup is right here in our own country. The United States has by far the greatest military forces and powers that exist anywhere in the world today. And a little scary, because somebody could come to power with the wrong idea and obliterate millions of people, as we've seen, very easily. Searching out weapons of mass destruction or whatever else they dream up that doesn't really exist. So there's a great urgency for preaching to convert this society. And Prabhupada said it will be done like this. By devotees preaching, the society will be converted to Krishna consciousness. And therefore these demons will not be able to destroy human society. Yes, Shesha.
Ramiro, you mentioned that about astrology. Is it necessarily a distraction?
No, not necessarily a distraction, but when one becomes dependent on it and not surrendered to Krishna, not dependent on Krishna, then it can become a distraction.
But there are uses of astrology in our lives as devotees.
Yes, we do use it. I guess I'm not a big fan of it, but occasionally I do check in and say, oh, okay, they got a little bit of some of it right. I don't know. I mean, even finding an accurate astrologer is not the easiest thing these days. But it can be distracting. Madan Mohan is waiting.
2 points I was thinking. One is sense gratification is the weapon of mass destruction. If you look at it, and I think that probably a fundamental religion-minded people could think that way about America also, that this present culture, whimsical pursuance of sense gratification as the aim of life is the weapon that America has of mass destruction, or this whole Western culture. So they try to wall themselves off from that and see that as a rightful way to try to destroy this culture. So they have a little bit more fear of what should be feared, you know, Allah. And one of the points that you made kind of struck me a little about tolerating happiness and distress and not doing devotional service for happiness. But there's a type of transcendental happiness that is, I think, ordered, a chant and be happy. So that happiness actually gives pleasure to Krishna, that he sees the devotees are happy by Chatur, Bhagavat Prasada, you know, the spiritual masters, please see the devotees taking prasadam, singing, dancing, feasting, dancing in ecstasy, Srila Prabhupada would often say. So that type of happiness, it's not that we do it for that reason, but it's not that we shouldn't be happy in Krishna consciousness. So I was mentioning that.
Yes, and actually that is the whole purpose of devotional service. Because by nature, we are beings who want to have exchange and fulfillment by loving relationships. But that desire, that need, can really only be completely fulfilled by exchanges with Krishna. So that satisfaction, that happiness from loving exchanges will come by devotional service, just as you were pointing out. Okay, last question, I believe, from Pundarik. I don't see anyone else.
Well, one thing was a point on astrology. There were actually two things. One time I was discussing with another devotee about an activity that we might go into together. And that devotee had spent quite a bit of time with Srila Prabhupada. So somehow it came up about astrology. Maybe we should consult astrology for this, to decide whether to do this activity or not. So I said, well, Prabhu, you spent quite a bit of time with Srila Prabhupada. Did you ever have any experience of how he dealt with that kind of thing? And he said, actually, yes. He said, one time there was something, and they were discussing, and maybe somebody suggested, well, we should consult an astrologer. And Prabhupada said, oh, we could consult an astrologer, but in the end, we will decide on practical considerations. And the other thing was on your point about the how we should preach. I just read something interesting the other day. I'm reading Easy Journey to Other Planets right now. And in there, I discovered something very amazing that I wasn't really aware of before. Srila Prabhupada said that because we need to convert these demons from their demoniac ways, and because they're burdening the earth. So Prabhupada said in there that if we do this chanting of Hare Krishna around the world in different places for people to hear, then every time they hear it, they gain pious activity. So he said they should be made to hear it repeatedly, because each time, more pious activity. And the hearing of the holy name is very pious activity. And by accumulation of these pious acts, simply hearing the chanting of the holy name, He said eventually they'll accumulate so many pious acts that they can live pious life, which I took to mean devotional life.
Yes, instead of the ugra karma that exists now. So many unwanted activities, both in creating so many activities and then in their ways of enjoyment, are totally unwanted and unhealthy. Very simple. So let us end here. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.